You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mark Leibovit, editor and publisher of the Leibovit VR Newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. He's speaking to us from Arizona, where you're anticipating rain.
Yeah, we're up here at 7,000 feet, so and this part of the country, this part of the state, you know, with the high elevation and some of the monsoonal flows this time of year, been on and off, but they apparently are back on again a little bit, so that's good. One reason to stay out of the Phoenix area if you can with the extreme heat. So, yeah, it's great up here. Love the pine trees, love the mountains, getting out of the valley, you know, the desert floor and stuff. And also, you know, long term, you know, Arizona has big problems in terms of water and stuff. I mean, I remember even back in the 1980s, there was stories about how, you know, development could be, you know, restricted because of the availability of water. And I think there's some kind of general rules, like you can't build unless you can assure, at least down in the valley, which is the Phoenix, greater Phoenix area, which I think is like what the fourth or third or fourth largest city in the U.S. now. You have to supply a 100-year water supply, you know, with, so you have to dig deep and check the aquifers and make sure you can get it. But meanwhile, since then, they continue to build and the water problem gets worse. So, you know, up here in the mountains, up in Flagstaff, north, the high country, it's a problem, but nowhere near what it is down in the valley. You know, going back 100 years or more, you know, any, or even going back further than that, any resident that had any common sense didn't live in Phoenix. I mean, there were, Prescott, it was actually the original capital of Arizona. It's up around 5,000 feet. And for some ridiculous reason, they moved it down to Phoenix. But all the residents were up in the high country. And then, you know, land was cheap, developers came in, you know, people moving from cold places. They were selling everybody on the Valley of the Sun, which is what they call Phoenix. Then, of course, a lot of political and economic and tax issues. We've had, you know, people emigrating from California and other places. So it's become a zoo, really crowded down there. When I moved from Chicago into the Phoenix area, actually I moved to Sedona originally, but in the late 80s, I mean, there weren't even freeways in Phoenix. There was one interstate highway, I think it was Interstate 17 going north and south, but no, you know, intra-city, you know, highways, you know, four-lane highways, and then they start building it. I mean, it was just impossible to get around, and particularly even now they're crowded. They probably have to add more. So, so being up here, you know, less of a water issue, and it's, you know, not the only reason I'm here, obviously, but it's something to think about. If you're moving down to Phoenix, there could be problems. And then there's always concern about the nuclear reactor just west of Phoenix, which is the largest in the United States. And, you know, whether there's terrorist events or whether that reactor has problems or whether they go on and on and on. I know a lot of people don't want to live on the west side of Phoenix in fear if there's some problem with the nuclear reactor there. So that's another little story about Phoenix. So just interesting side stuff. But despite what I'm saying, people still coming in. Land is not cheap. Houses are more expensive now than it was years ago. But the whole state has gone up because of, you know, there was less cost of living here originally. And then, you know, we don't have, as in California, you know, with the flooding and the earthquakes and all that nonsense, you know, and as you want to compare it to Florida, where no hurricanes, you have a stable climate or weather pattern in this part of the world. So if you try to avoid, and I used to live in Florida too, so I had a childhood experience and a couple of hurricanes there. So if you want to avoid hurricanes, earthquakes, floods, huge fires, though we did have some small fires here in northern Arizona, but the big ones you seem to get more in the West Coast, Florida. And of course, you guys in Canada had a bunch just recently too, which affected the Northeast. So anyway, that's sort of a geographic summary, and we got off on a little bit of a tangent here and what's going on. But interesting week in the markets, Jim. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's waiting for a payroll report tomorrow, supposedly, and I have like zero interest and respect for any of the government reports because they're ultimately always revised. You can't rely on them, and it's just a game in terms of, you know, how the market or the analysts interpret the news. I'm just trying to get to, you know, some of the current story about it in terms of what the press is saying. Bottom line is they're looking, you know, for a stable report tomorrow. You know, they don't want to see, you know, sharp changes in the employment numbers. So they're rather than get into all the details, which I rarely don't get into, because you know it comes and goes, and then they wait for the next one. So I really don't want to discuss the payroll and the employment numbers. I just don't think we're going anywhere with that. But the other interesting story this week that caught my attention was, you know, some positive earnings coming out of the cannabis sector. We don't talk too much about it, but we've had some two or three reports. In fact, one due tomorrow by a company called Trulieve, TRLV, which is down in Florida, based in Florida, I believe. But, you know, Curaleaf, Kronos, for example, these just names came out with some big better numbers these last couple, 3 days, which is interesting. Kronos is, has an ownership piece with Altria, the old Philip Morris company. And so the whole group seems to be doing better, you know, showing better cash flow, better management. And I guess we're all waiting to see whether the government gets the cannabis reschedule and the Banking Act goes to the next level. But the companies seem to be, you know, showing some profitability and doing well. So you got to keep your finger on the button there with these, because if, you know, government legislation ultimately comes to pass here, there could be some nice money to be made in that group, which, you know, overall has been depressed. But again, it's encouraging to see that they're making money. You know, this is the bottom line. People want to, they want the product. I mean, that's sort of what it's all about. And, you know, outside of that, we saw what else interesting event this week. We saw gold starting to pop up a little bit, silver as well, not as much. Part of this could be related to the Japanese carry trade yen situation. And it was interesting because interest rates have been sort of upticking, and that, you know, usually is a barrier to gold. So, you know, I was looking for a big, big move. As you know, we discussed last week my bigger picture target, which others have shared. I've been reading on the internet, a lot of people have come up with a similar number, so maybe the universal consciousness, we all come up with the same number at the same time. But as you know, I've been looking for ultimately like a 38,000 level. But it occurred to me also, I mean, it's not really much talk about, you know, we sort of implied last week a little bit, you know, so gold goes up, you know, is there a risk that the government would try to confiscate it again like they did back in the 1930s? I mean, I'm just thinking more and more about it. You can't protect yourself against the government. We already know that European countries, you know, there's some discussion about restricting moving of gold or physical assets as things unravel politically and economically in that part of the world. And what could possibly happen here in the U.S. again? You know, the government would come in and force you to either sell the gold back to the government or ban it altogether. I mean, you can't, you know, as long as these power-hungry politicians are in their position, you can't guarantee any outcome here. So the real question is, if gold goes up like that, what does that really mean? Are you making money, not making money? Are you forced to sell it? If you force to sell it into a currency which is worthless, what's the point? You know, a lot of, you know, just a lot of machinations about what the consequences of that could be. So that's a multi-year comment for me, but, and you know, maybe we're beginning the bigger move now. My thought was more toward the end of the year, but it's, you know, maybe we're getting a rally and we'll come back and retest and take off again. But I just think it's real interesting that, you know, we think about this. You know, how do you protect yourself? You know, can you even protect yourself in that type of situation? And the other news is Congress, at least the U.S. Senate, is dragging its feet on the Clarity Act, which is the important act that we've been waiting for with regard to the crypto world. And it looks like, you know, Democrats want more disclosure there, and it doesn't look, with the current Senate taking a holiday, I think, in about a week and up until September, it may not get passed or probably won't get passed. Some of the big companies like Ripple and Coinbase and others have been pressuring either congressional leaders, or one in particular, I think it was Ripple, ran a big ad in the Wall Street Journal encouraging, you know, the Senate and the government to move forward on the Clarity Act. And the thing to keep in mind is that, you know, some of these cryptos like XRP and others are actively being used and around the world. I mean, it's not just something here in the U.S. Getting the, you know, legislation, you know, finalized here is a big step to, you know, protecting the, you know, the crypto world and conducting business in the crypto world. So I think that's something that's coming, but, you know, some of the powers that be here are dragging their feet, but it will ultimately happen. This is like talking about the cannabis story, you know. I hope it's not that bad, you know, where they were talking for years for getting cannabis rescheduled and talking about this banking act for the cannabis industry, and now crypto. We did get, you know, some legislation passed last year, and it's supposed to have been finalized this year. Just didn't happen. And you know, leaving this the business world in general. I mean, the overall markets we can talk about just generally. I mean, our model said we might get a rally here, a sell-off in July or pull back, and then a rally into August, and got a little bit of a bounce here. But I'm a little concerned as we move forward here. So overall, I think you got to be a little bit more protective, at least in terms of what our cycle work is saying. So I'm not super excited about the market, particularly with the midterm elections coming up and the uncertainty surrounding that. So that's why I've been also focusing a lot on the SpaceX rocket ship and booster blasting into the moon and so forth. There's other things, you know, of greater interest to me here. But, you know, short term, the market is, you know, a little uncertain here. You've got rates going up, and you've got crude oil now upticking again. And you got the midterm election coming up, and my cycle work saying, you know, maybe you want to be a little bit careful. We have a solar eclipse on August 12th, the end of next week. And I know some would think we're stretching it, but sometimes there's more than just planetary implications to the eclipse that might affect the markets directly or indirectly. So that's something to be aware of in terms of that period of time. And so we've had a bunch of meteor showers the last week or so. We talked about that last week. The Perseid showers are still underway here, and they're not supposed to peak, I think, for another week or so. So that's sort of an exciting thing if you're looking to the skies, besides worrying about boosters slamming into the moon, which has been happening. And the other thing, it's notable, and you know, always seem to get to the subject about you know, what's going on in the UFO community and the reporting there. And I've been a big follower of the New Paradigm Institute in Washington, but it's not unremarkable that, you know, there's very little coverage and really discussion about it in the press at all. You know, talking about the booster slamming into the moon is about as far as they want to go. So really, you know, the trust in the media has declined for a long time, and I think part of it is because of things like this, where, you know, with the mainstream media, you know, really doesn't really give it a lot of credence or pay a lot of attention to it. And I think there's things happening in the background. You know, you can say the legacy media is biased, but, you know, they could also be controlled indirectly or told what to do by the government in some way, even though we're not officially told that happens. The fear of being not credible and so forth, despite the humongous amount of data supporting otherwise. So, you know, they set a very high threshold before they talk about any claims or reports coming out of Washington, even Washington with the UFOs. But they set a high bar for that, but not social or political events, which they seem to be totally off base on and report stuff sometimes even without verification, just because it sounds politically correct at the moment. But for UFO stuff, they want independent verifiable evidence, they want multiple sources, official documentation, but they don't do that, you know, when the Democrats or someone else is you know, trying to instigate a Marxist or communist representatives and get them elected into Congress. That's okay, but they're talking about UFOs, they want to be more critical of. So definitely political bias there, and, you know, it's very important that we keep in mind that we do our own research and not listen to the mainstream press. So in summary, got some, you know, geocosmic stuff up ahead with that solar thing. We have cycles indicating some caution ahead, in my opinion. Still, there's individual areas that you can look at. You know, if suddenly the Clarity Act gets passed, which I don't think is going to happen this week or next week before Congress or Senate recesses, that would be an area, keeping an eye on those, some of those cannabis stocks. And that's sort of where we're at.
We'll have more with Mark Leibovit right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mark Leibovit. Mark, do you think they're ever going to resolve the Iran war?
You know, it's like saying, will they ever resolve the conflict in the Middle East, which has been going on, what, a couple thousand years?
Yeah.
You know, so it's a religious war, and that's very hard to solve. You know, it's just not an easy thing, and I think it's unfortunate. I'm not very optimistic. I like to be optimistic, but you know, we had the Nazis in the World War II. We thought we ended anti-Semitism all the pursuit against the Jewish people at that time. It looks like they moved into Iran or moved into the Arab world, and now we have the same thing going on with Iran versus Israel, and it's, you know, biblical. It's like they say, it's really hard to answer. I mean, you know, I think there's an innate distrust and hate between the groups passed on from generation to generation, and I'm just not that optimistic. I mean, you ended World War II, you got rid of the Nazis, you thought. And then anti-Semitism was supposed to hopefully have come to an end, or at least curtailed, and now it's reemerged all over the world, and particularly, you know, the Islamic Republic in Iran is out to destroy Israel, and I'm sure a lot of the political and social comments, you know, with the internet and with funding and stuff, it may be indirectly related to them and their interest in stimulating hatred and blaming the Jewish people and Israel for all the world's problems. I mean, you got a tiny little country of 6 million people and a tiny little piece of real estate, suddenly the cause of problems all over the world, and the United Nations has always been the majority against them, but they're willing to support or ignore other atrocities created by other countries and so forth. So, long-winded response. I'm just not that optimistic, and I don't know how it will be resolved.
Mark, thank you so much for chatting with us.
I wish we could end on a happier note, but thank you. Talk to you next week.
My guest has been Mark Leibovitt, editor and publisher of the Leibovitt VR newsletters, also known as VRTrader.com. I'm Jim Goddard.
Comments made on HowStreet.com Radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com, HowStreet.com Radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.